clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope everybody got a shower this past weekend. It looks like everybody in western Oklahoma and some parts of the eastern Texas Panhandle got some. The Panhandle didn't get so much, but we'll check out some amounts here in just a little bit. 78 degrees at Altus. That's the warmest spot in the whole state of Oklahoma. 75 at Butler, 73 at Arnett, 69 at Freedom, 66 at Cherokee. Out here in the big old panhandle of Texas, 72 at Canadian, 73 at Lipscomb, 73 at Dozer, and why? There it is. 78 at Goodlett and 77 at Childress. Let's see here. Let's check out some rain total amounts for the in Oklahoma, at least. Hollis, looks like you've not quite got a half inch of rain in the last, 42 100. Eric, 1.59. Butler is 1.29. 2.49 at Sealing. A little over 3 inches at Fairview. And 59. Slapout's got 5,900ths of an inch, but when you get west of there, not so good. I know there's some spotted areas between Cheyenne and running up north of Elk City towards north of Hammond, towards Fairview and stuff. There was a really heavy band come through there night before last. A friend of mine right here north of Elk City, 3.7 inches. I know Jimmy Taylor out the Taylor Ranch, and they got Jesus said they got around 2.7, 2.8, if I remember that right. So there was some heavy bands go through there. Of course, over in eastern Oklahoma, where they get all the rain, there's amounts up over 7 inches over there, and they can have that all at once. So crops look a little better. It looks like we're going to get her again tomorrow night. So keep cutting that hay, guys, because you're the one that caused this. I hate it people get their hay rained on, but it does. Sometimes it causes rain to get in. Not much went on this weekend with me. We did a little work on the irrigation. I spoon fed my tomatoes and peppers. Everything's growing now. Everything's planted. I counted up last night, 200 tomato plants and 120 pepper plants. That's not including my wife's herbs that she's got planted in there. But they're looking good. Other than that, just I hope everybody had a good Easter and visit with the family and went to church. And also one of our farmers down here south of the river here in Beckham County, Randy Patton, I want everybody to send out prayers for him. He's having surgery here in approximately about 3 hours in Oklahoma City. So keep your fingers crossed and say a prayer for fellow farmer. How's that sound? Fellow farmer down there. So keep your fingers crossed for him down there. I left the house this morning about 5 and went to Oklahoma City to get to my doctor's appointment by the Baptist Hospital at 7:30 to the ear doctor. I'm still deaf in my ear. Deaf in my ear, right ear. It didn't get any better since 6 months ago. I don't think it's going to get any better. It can't get any better. My middle ear is gone. Had a good trip up there and back. A lot of highway patrolmen's going towards the city. I don't know what was going on. They wasn't in a hurry. I must have been having a meeting or something up there. Other than that, was deal. So you guys think my pronunciation of words is bad? I got something I want you guys to listen to. Sentinel, Oklahoma, made the top 10 list of the top 10 friendliest small towns in Oklahoma. But I want you guys to listen to how this guy pronounces this. Hope I got this board set up right. Hang on a second here.
Friendliest small towns in Oklahoma, and I'm going to give it to you. Here we go. At number 10, we got Centennial. I think that's how you pronounce that. I'm not for sure. At number 9, we got OK. At number 8, we got Medicine Park. I like Medicine Park. It's pretty cool. At number 7, we got Depew. At number 6, we got Clayton. I've never been to Clayton. Never been. I don't even know where it's located at, to be honest with you. At number 5, we got Chattanooga. That seems like a friendly town. At number 4, we got Carmen. Where in the world is Carmen? Okay. At number 3, we got Blair. And number 2, we got Arcata. I think that's how you pronounce it. But if you like lists like this, make sure you hit the plus sign. And also, let me know if there's more friendliest small towns here in Oklahoma. All right. So at number 1, the most friendliest town in Oklahoma is Adair.
Centennial. Is that how you say Sentinel? He did at least get Blair right. So congratulations to Blair and Sentinel, the only two towns out here, I guess, in Western Oklahoma that made the 10 friendliest small towns. But he didn't even know how to say Arcata. And at least I could say that. I mean, you guys, come on, give me a little credit. But I guess who lives down there in Centennial? Oh, yeah, the Cotton King, Jimmy Rhodes, Wheat Farmer Jimmy Music, and there's no telling who else lives around in Centennial. So you guys will have to start saying that word, Centennial. I'm sorry, I had to throw that out there. It was pretty funny. Carmen, where's it at? Okay, let's check out what happened overnight in a big world of agriculture. I checked the board here about 30 minutes ago. It don't look very good at all. The only thing green I seen in there was a little bit of corn and a little bit of lean hogs. But let's see what happened overnight, because the board was, markets were closed last Friday. So there's all kinds of bad news can happen from last Friday till now. Corn futures were higher overnight on signs of demand for U.S. supplies and the value of the dollar plunges. Sales of U.S. corn to overseas buyers and the week through April the 10th jumped up to 1.56 million metric tons, according to the USDA. That's up 99% from the previous week and 39% from the prior four-week average. Mexico was the big buyer at 401,500 metric tons, Japan 263,000, Spain at 240. Soybean sales jumped to 554,800 tons, up from 172,000 tons the week prior, and 74% higher than the average. Mexico was the big buyer of U.S. beans at 156,000 tons. Netherlands took 127,000. Germany was in there for 118,000. Wheat sales, meanwhile, totaled 76,500 tons. That's down 29% week over week, but up 2% from last year. The Dominican Republic bought 30,700 tons of U.S. wheat. Venezuela purchased 28,000, and South Korea was in there for 22,300. Also giving futures a bump this morning and a sharply weaker dollar. The greenback was down 1.1% in early morning trading, making dollar-denominated goods more attractive to overseas buyers. Corn futures for July delivery rose 3.5 cents to $4.93¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures added 3 cents to $10.53 a bushel. Soy meal gained 30 cents to $3.0340 a short ton, and soy oil jumped 0.28 cents to 48.62 cents a pound. Wheat futures, I don't know what's going on. My phone is blowing up. Wheat futures for July delivery rate came up a penny and a half to 563¾ a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 2 cents to 572 a bushel. Investors turned bullish on soybeans while raising their net long positions bets on higher prices in corn, according to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Money managers held a bullish position of 43,000 future contracts in soybeans in the 7 days that ended April the 15th. That was a shift from a net short position, bets on lower prices of 27,000 contracts the week prior, in the largest net long position for beans since February the 4th. A net long position indicates more traders are betting on higher prices, while a net short position means they are betting on futures to decline. Speculators raised their bullish positions in corn to 145,000 future contracts. That's up from 131,000 the previous week. Also, that's the largest position since March, so fourth to be exact. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment firms reduced their net short positions in soft red futures to 86,000 contracts, down from 90,000 the week earlier. Investors were bullish by 42,000 hard red winter wheat contracts. That's down from 46,000 contracts the week earlier. What kind of weather do we got going on in our big old world of agriculture in the Farm Belt? The National Weather Service issued red flag warnings for northeastern Colorado, central Nebraska, and much of western Kansas. Fires that develop will catch and spread quickly, according to them. Winds in central Nebraska will be sustained from 15 to 25 miles an hour today, with gusts up to 40 miles an hour, with humidity as low as 15%. Western Kansas winds will range from 10 to 20 miles an hour and gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Humidity will fall down to around 10 to 11%. Looks like they had frost. I did check this out. It said frost advisories were in effect this morning for a few counties in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. Out there in far western Oklahoma Panhandle, looked like they got down to 30 and 31 degrees at the Mesonet site. So it got a little chilly down there last night, didn't it? Well, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. And let's take an OCA break, and we'll see what the real market's doing. And let's see what Dr. Pill's got to say also about what's going on with our markets. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April the 11th. 1,281 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 370 brought 415. 9 at 431 brought 422.50. 5 at 486 brought 370. 10 at 509 brought 380. 10 at 602 brought 340. 4 at 621 brought 329. 3 at 808 brought 254. 8 head of heifers at 293 brought 445. 13 at 475 brought 354. 3 at 490 brought 336. 9 at 538 brought 318, 4 at 543 brought 300, 5 at 653 brought 294, 15 at 988 brought 261, butcher cows were 32 to 168, butcher bulls brought 139 to 201, bred cows were 1700 to 3150, pairs brought 1625 to 3900, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Accidents happen, like trying to teach your kid how to drive. He hits the gas instead of the brake while pulling into your driveway, nails a tree, and knocks the thing over onto your house. Look, when dominoes fall, Misty Gosen at Farmers Insurance in Clinton has you covered. For auto, home, life, boat, motorcycle, or any other valuable, call Misty Gosen at Farmers Insurance for a free quote, 580-323-8444, or stop by our office at 2004 West Gary Boulevard in Clinton. Just know how to park before you arrive.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted high-pro feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Your family is sitting around the supper table and something interesting happens. Just a few moments ago, there was lots of rustling and noises, and now nobody's saying a word. Everyone's too busy cutting up their steak and taking bites. Once in a while, someone says something about how good it tastes, but for the most part, everyone's pretty quiet. They're too busy chewing and swallowing and going back for another bite. The meat was processed exactly the way you wanted it, and all you had to do was tell us what you wanted. We processed your meat to the exact specifications, and since we processed the meat at your place, it was really simple for you. I'm Becky Brown, and my husband's Tony, and we're BT Butchers. It's a mobile meat processing shop. We come to you and make it easy as possible, the way you want it. The website is btbutchers.com. That's B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. Remember, it's your meat and it feeds your family. You deserve to have it processed the way you want it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out some ag weather out in the Texas Panhandle. Wellington, 74 degrees, 42 is the humidity, dew point's 49. The winds are out of the south at 13 miles per hour. Wind gust up to 23 so far. 2.11 inches of rain so far in the month of April at Wellington. 8-inch soil temperature, 60 degrees. We got a busy, busy week this week on the show. And we coming up tomorrow, as always, Bree Brandon coming on talking about the sale from today at Western Oklahoma, and Friday at the Elk City Livestock Auction. Man, they were busy too. Cousin Kay, I got to see Cousin Kay. It's the first time I got to see her in a couple of weeks. Nothing's changed with that woman. Our relationship remains the same. I will warn you right now. I did see her at church yesterday. She was really nice to me yesterday. So I'm not going to say nothing bad about her until tomorrow. Coming up Wednesday, I got a really great show in line for you guys. Ben Weinhammer, however you say his name. It's German. I don't care if I had bad hearing. Me and German names just don't get along very good. He is the CEO and president of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association. He's going to be on the show with me Wednesday. And then Thursday, I'm going to have Becky Brown on here from BT Butchers. If you just heard her commercial, she'll come to your place and butcher your animal for you. So we'll have her on here. And then finally, Friday, just for on a phone call, but I'm getting to get to talk to Rex Fleming Friday on my show. It should be a good one. So we got a busy week in store for everybody. And so, all right, let's check out our current grain market, see what's going on. Let me refresh it. I know that article I read from Farm Journal that comes on early is didn't paint a pretty picture as much as this one don't paint as pretty picture as the one from Farm Journal. Currently, right now, May corn is up a quarter at 482. July is 490, up a half. Soybeans for May, 1030, down 6.5. July is 1041, down 6. Soybean meals down $2.70 for May at 292.90. July is 340, down 270. Soybean oil, May is up a little bit, not much, 0.01 cents, if that makes any sense. It's at 47.88 cents. Yep. And then there it is. Hard red winter wheat, May, 550, down 6.75. July is 563, down 6.5. Cotton, July, 66.46, down 67. Oil out of West Texas is down $1.64 today for May. It's at 63.04. Natural gas is just hanging in there right above $3 for May. And it's down 19 cents. The NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow are all in the red. Let's check out what's happening. Live cattle are down slightly today. April's 209.50, down 32. June's 203.65, down 42. Feeders for May, 285.22, down 162. August is 289.12, down 175. And September's 287.95, down 162. Lean hogs, May 91, up 60 for lean hogs. And that's the only really super positive thing I've seen on the whole board. All right, let's see what Dr. Peel said on their cow-calf. Where's that at? Bear with me a second here. Oh, I didn't bring it up. No wonder. Whoa, where'd it go? There it is. I found it. You guys didn't have to hang on too long. According to Dr. Peel, from the Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing, the latest USDA cattle on feed report pegs feedlot inventories on April 1st at 11.638 million head. That's down 1.6% year over year. The 12-month moving average of feedlot inventories is 11.586 million head, lowest average since November of 2023. March feedlot marketings were 1.725 million head, up 1.1% year over year. Marketings in the first quarter of the year are down 2.2% compared to 1 year ago. Placements in March were up 5.1% from 1 year ago, but down 4% year over year in the first 3 months of 2025. In the current cattle cycle, feedlot inventories peaked in 2022. The April 1st feedlot inventory was down 4.6% compared to April 1st, 2022. The top six feeding states in April: Texas, Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado, Iowa, and California accounted for 85.6% of total feedlot inventory. Those same six states currently account for 84.1% of the total feedlot inventory. Since April of 2022, feedlot inventory in Texas has decreased by 9.5%, Nebraska's down by 2.3%, Kansas down by 6.8%, Colorado down 9.1%, and California coming in down there in a whopping low 11.5%. Ooh. Among the top six states, only Iowa currently has a larger feedlot inventory, up 4.6% from April of 2022, according to Dr. Peel. Also, the April report also contained the quarterly inventory of steers and heifers on feed. Heifers on feed was at 4.38 million head. That's down 3.9% from a year ago and down 4.3% from January. Heifers on feed are currently at 4.38 million, 37.6% of the total on feed inventory. That's the lowest quarterly total since July of 2021 and the lowest percentage since April of 2020. The heifer percentage has averaged 39% over the last 16 quarters. This may be the first solid evidence that some heifer retention is beginning. It's not definite nor very strong yet, but it could be happening. You don't know. We're not sure. The current heifer on feed percentage is still fractionally above the long-term average percentage. During herd expansion, the heifer percentage is expected to drop below 35% for several quarters. The next quarterly update in July may confirm the declining heifer on feed percentage and heifer retention if the percentages drop below 37%. There you go. I don't know. You know, Brandon and I've talked about this. We talk about it every Tuesday, just on that point right there. And, you know, the maybe some heifer retention going on some. But a lot of the cows that are being sold at the local auction barns around Western Oklahoma, for sure, I can vouch for, is they're going back out in the pasture. A lot of them, they're not going to slaughter. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk more with Brandon about that tomorrow. Okay, let's check out some livestock numbers from the USDA. Let's start with Texas this week. Started with Oklahoma last week. According to this, total receipts were 5,143 head last Friday compared to 2,808 the week before and 6,300 a year ago. Compared to last week's light test, a higher undertone was noted on feeder cattle. Demand was good. Markets regained last week's losses and cattle futures closed in the green. Rain is in the forecast over the weekend with slightly cooler temperatures. Supply included 90% feeders, cattle, and where's the rest of it? 3% replacement. Let's see here. And there's one more. Oh, slaughter cattle. There it is. 8% slaughter cattle. So let me start all over. 90% feeder, 8% slaughter, and replacement was 3%. There you have it. All right, let's check out what happened in Oklahoma at the sale barns last week, according to the USDA. 21,772 went through the sale barn last week. Last reported, last the week before was 12,480. Last year, pretty comparable, not too bad. 23,025 head went through the sale barn this time last year. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers in Oklahoma were $6 to $12 higher, steer calves $4 to $7 higher, heifer calves $6 to $11 higher. Demand was good. Slaughter cows steady to $3 higher, slaughter bulls steady. Packer demand very good. Cattle futures have turned bullish this week. Rain is forecast for the weekend and this week, and we did get some rain over the weekend. Supply included 88% feeder cattle, 6% slaughter cattle, and check this out. I think this may be the highest number I've ever seen on replacement cattle in Oklahoma since I started the show, and that was 6% replacement cattle. Got it. Almost my anniversary's coming up, and I really want to take just a few minutes here before we go to break. I want to thank all my listeners for hanging with me. 4 years coming up next week, I believe, end of next week. 4 years I've been doing the show, and I have some good ones. I have some bad ones. I have some really great ones, and people don't realize how hard it is if you don't have a guest on the show to talk for an hour. Reading all this stuff like I'm doing today, and I try to find the stuff that I know will interest you guys. I got the whole Western Oklahoma, most of the Oklahoma Panhandle, because I have people have sent me texts on the show from Boise and Boise City and Guymon and Eastern Texas Panhandle. I don't know how to thank you guys any more than just saying thank you and thanks for sticking with me. And hopefully I got another good year on me. I'm getting old, it's been fun, and I've actually learned a lot of stuff by doing this show that I probably never would have come across. So I appreciate you guys all being hanging there with me, and God bless all you guys. And we're gonna take a Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, we'll have some more ag news. Be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We have accountants that work there, so if you have accounting questions, we can always ask that. We have people that have been there for 35 years, and so they've been in banking a long time, so they can always answer questions. There's a lot of information that's available at First National that is not available at other banks. It's very convenient. We can do a lot of things same day. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay, it wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
One of the purposes of the FFA is to teach high school students the principles of successful farming. But FFA also serves as a training ground for civic leaders through speech contests, community improvement projects, and leadership camps. Today and every day, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Leaders aren't born, they're made. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre loves how FFA creates leaders every day.
The 2025 Hemphill County Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Texas is celebrating 10 big years, providing prime opportunities to learn, network, and socialize with producers from around the country. Get your tickets today for the conference, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 29th and 30th. Just Google Hemphill Beef Cattle Conference, go to the website, see the agenda, speakers, sponsors, and get your tickets today. See you in Canadian.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update for Arnett. 75 degrees, yes, that's the home of the famous Laurie Campbell. We all know that. 44 is the dew point. Humidity's 33. The winds are out of the southwest at 9 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 1.03 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 59 degrees. The rain cooled the ground down a little bit. Sunset, 8:17, 80 for a high today, 51 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, chance of thunderstorms and 80. I'm sorry, not tomorrow night, but tomorrow, to mañana, chance of thunderstorms and 82 degrees and 30% chance of showers. Don't look like the wind's going to be really crazy tomorrow, but tomorrow night, get ready. According to what I'm hearing from all my buddies, depending on whether they listen to Channel 4, 5, or 9, it's going to get rough out here. We don't know how rough, and we don't know what the rough part is, but it's going to get rough. We'll see what's going on. Okay. I have an email sent me to from the major at Cooperton I wanted to share with you guys. From out of North Platte, Nebraska. One of my favorite stopping spots when I was going and working in North Dakota. North Platte Stockyards recorded one of the most historic sales in U.S. cattle market history on Tuesday, April the 15th. With a standout performance in feeder calf offering, included the third highest 5-weight sale ever recorded nationally. A powerful run of 145 head, averaging 524 pounds, brought $4.39, well, basically $39.50 per hundredweight, marking it the highest 5-weight price in the country for the day. The sale come within 50 cents of the national all-time record and stands as the highest 5-weight price ever recorded in Nebraska. If you ain't done the math already, it's a little over $2,300 for a 524-pound steer. And there was 145 of them. Now, I didn't do that math. That guy got a pretty good chunk of change. This was truly a historic day for our barn in the cattle market, North Platte Stockyard said in a statement. We're proud of being setting the pace nationally. We need to get a hold of some of our buyers here around Elk City or over there at Western Oklahoma. I know there's a really good set of calves coming in probably this Friday at Elk City. We need to blow that out of the water so I can shut those corn huskers up there. Always bragging on something. Either Texas is bragging on something from down south, or the people on the panhandle in Western Oklahoma were on the same page. But those boys down south around Austin, they're a different cat. All right, let's see here. You know, with planting season coming up, the corn's in. I seen some corn up over there around Clinton, and we got corn up over here by my house, and I know there's some over there west of the river up. But irrigation season's here, and I just wanted to pass this along via Knutson Irrigation, one of my sponsors. Those irrigation systems are similar to all other equipment where they set all year. I would start logistically somewhere at the pivot point, probably, and work myself through the entire system on your pivot. I would open the power box and make sure you got power. Make sure that the system will walk appropriately. Make sure all your drive motors are working. Check your oils, check your tires on those, and make sure they are inflated. The last thing you want to have is change a tire in the middle of the season. And sometimes it's I've done it, or I've had Blair Tire do it. I'm not going to do it. Them wheeled tires are heavy, but they just check them. It's going to happen. Check your water source, whether it's a well or surface water, and start the pivot up. Make sure there's no leaks. One thing we had this year that's uncommon, we had all that cold weather that was coming and going, but it got pretty chilly there for a couple weeks, and I think some guys had already fired their pivots up. Make sure you check everything out now. If you didn't do a good job at draining and you hadn't fired it up since that last cold snap, maybe you should do that. I'll guarantee you we're going to have some plastic parts on our pressure regulators and potentially our nozzle bodies and stuff like that that have cracked. I strongly encourage growers to start it up, walk it, check your safety stop, and make sure it will stop and make sure it will go in reverse. You do have grease fittings on the pivot point of the system. Grease them really well. Make sure power is off to the system, but you can open behind your panel box and make sure there's no critters have built nests back in or back over the winter. Rats love to chew wires, and I found out the hard way. It's true. We don't want a wire in there that's working right now, but it's going to short out in a few weeks. So, man, check out your irrigation system, your power source. Please remember to turn your power off before you go digging around, getting those mud daubers, nests, and spider webs out of there. There's a lot of juice, because most everybody's 440, three phase. There's a lot of juice going in there, and I'm telling you, I'm scared chicken of electricity. I don't know why, but I am scared chicken of electricity. So there we go. All right, let me see here. I got something over here I want to share you guys. Hang on a second. Let me delete this real quick so I don't confuse myself. Southeast Network. Let's see, where are you at? There it is. The black vultures are back in the news again. And I've already heard rumors of people. Why is it not coming up? Bear with me. I'm not being quiet here. Well, it's over here. Hang on a second. I get a little closer. I can read it. So in Congress in Washington, a bill dealing with black vulture has been introduced in Congress, and livestock trade groups are praising this effort. Representatives John Rose of Tennessee and Darren Soto of Florida have introduced the Black Vulture Relief Act, which would allow a cattle producer to capture, kill, I call it rehome, disperse or transport black vultures that pose a risk to livestock and would institute an annual reporting requirement for producers. Also, this bill would lift the cap on number of black vultures that producers can take. If I remember right, reading the one that we get with the Department of Agriculture here in Oklahoma, I think it's 10. This would be really cool. A lot better. According to Garrett Emmons, NCBA Director of Government Affairs, said cattle producers across the South and the Midwest face the emotional and financial strain of livestock deaths due to an overabundance of black vultures, and they've been pushing their way out west here. They were reported as far as west of Eric last year. At the time when the U.S. cattle herd is the lowest number since 1951, producers cannot afford to have vultures killing newborn calves. Do not confuse what I'm talking about here with the regular turkey vultures, the red-headed ones. Don't be stupid here. Being in the middle of spring calving season back home, those predators target the newborns, the weakest animals who cannot defend themselves. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act has been overwhelmingly successful, but makes it extremely difficult for producers to properly protect their cattle herd from these predators. It's time to recognize that success and give producers more flexibility in managing black vulture populations. NCBA appreciates Congressman Rose and Soto for introducing this common sense bill to properly managing an explosion population of predators. Now, if we can just get them to do something about feral hogs too, that'd be really cool. So we'll see how that goes. Hey, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, we'll finish up the show. I got a little bit on peanuts, and I got five important reminders when finding orphan wildlife. Because I seen a picture day before yesterday that made me think about this on a lot of baby deer, baby turkeys, and quail are all going to be being born here in the next 90 to 120 days. So let's check out what the article from Texas A&M AgriLife has to say about that. Be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Are you looking for a new metal building that's built to last? Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone brings you top-tier craftsmanship and second-to-none quality with attention to detail. From luxury custom barn dominiums to shops or barns and commercial buildings, our buildings don't just look good, they're built to last with all custom weld-up, I-beam, and C-Perlin construction. From design to completion, we do it right. That's Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone.
Everybody knew Dad, Bill Willis, the P.T. Barnum of the granite business, and he would go out. He'd be sitting in a hamburger place somewhere, and he'd sell the guy next to him a marker. I mean, he was a promoter, and he believed in this business more than anybody on the face of the earth. He thought it was important. He said, you're saving history, and you're taking care of these families, and you're the veterans' monuments. He'd cry every time we'd have a veterans' ceremony, you know, dedication service and everything. He was just so wanted to honor people. Wanted people to know that they had been here. And he just loved the granite business. He believed that our work was the best that could be done, and he would go out and sell it. He was in USA Today. He was quoted as being, he said he was the biggest chiseler in Oklahoma. I mean, he just was a bigger-than-life individual. Willis Granite Products. Our website is willisgranite.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed. Or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. It really helps if you turn that red button on, you can hear me talk. Here's your Hoban Farming Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Big town of Blair, home of Blair Tire and Feed. You guys know the Shawls down there? If you don't, you should. 80 degrees, 45 is the dew point. Humidity is 29. Winds are out of the southwest at 15, with gusts up to 23. 51 hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 64 degrees, 8:13 sunset, 82 for a high today. Partly cloudy, 50 tomorrow, tonight, and Tuesday, slight chance of thunderstorms, 84 degrees with a 20% chance of thunderstorms. 10 head or 10,000 head. Cow-calf stockers or feeders selling at the sale barn, retaining ownership, or marketing retail. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association has something for everyone. As cattle producers, we all have many of the same goals in mind: profitability, stewardship, feeding the world with integrity, and protecting our resources and livelihood for generations to come. To become a member is really simple. Or learn more about the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, go to okcattlemen.org. Really easy to do. All right. Let's see here. We haven't heard from Tyrone. I'm not talking about a football player. I'm talking about Tyrone Spearman from Georgia. He's got some things to talk about, a little bit, not much, update on peanuts. Let's see what he's got to say.
Well, the peanut market remains very quiet as farmers decide how many peanuts to plant. USDA said Georgia alone will have 1 million acres. Unfortunately for peanut growers, there just isn't enough competition for peanuts, and that means they'll plant more. Cotton continues to trade in the high 60s for December 25. So the fact that cotton acres are projected down 12% in the line with the industry expectations. On corn, $5 a bushel is easy to see why peanuts is the pick of the litter on deciding on commodities this year. So it's planting time. The new kernel price has dropped down to about 50 cents in the southeast for runner-type peanuts. Blanch peanuts is about 70%. So that's a drop about 10%. And buyers are taking some coverage, but there are not many people now deciding on prices because the crop is yet to be decided. I'm Tyrone Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyrone. All right. I think Oklahoma needs to do this. And they probably gotten something small, but here I am bragging on Nebraska again today. Nebraska to launch a rural veterinarian grant program. The University, University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Yeah, that makes sense. UNL also moving into the next phase of Elite 11 Veterinarian Program, which provides scholarships to students interested in becoming large animal veterinarians in the state. And we're not talking about the puppy and the kitty ones. We're talking about big girl and big boy stuff. Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen has announced a new program through the Nebraska Department of Labor aimed at attracting and retaining production animal veterinarians in rural Nebraska. The Rural Veterinarian Grant Program is the second incentive the governor has launched, focused on growing the next generation of production animal veterinarians in the state. The first one announced last year is the Elite 11 Veterinary Program through the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. As I say, we feed the world and save the planet. We need to provide maximum efficiency and resources to help our producers be successful, said Governor. Additionally, if a foreign animal disease were to come, we need veterinarians who are ready to respond and enough of them to implement the programs that would help mitigate the spread of any disease. Through DOL, recent graduates of veterinary schools will be eligible for a $150,000 grant. This is the new one. Last year, they were given scholarships. This year, sounds like they're giving some money to get them started. The same offer is available for newly practicing veterinarians who wish to move to the state and launch their own practice or join an established one in rural Nebraska. Under the program, up to 13 recipients will be selected to be eligible. Here we go. You ready? Applicants must have be a doctor in veterinary medicine and be licensed to practice in Nebraska. Commit to residing and practicing in Nebraska for a minimum of 8 years. Work in a veterinary clinic with at least 80% of its hours are devoted to production animals in a county where a population of less than 40,000 people. Upon conclusion of the agreement, the grant amount will be paid in full to the veterinarian. In other words, you're not getting this money till you're done. There ain't going to be none of this. Oh, here's your check, and then you skip state. That ain't going to work. Nebraska has a talented and educated workforce, and this program is well designed to continue growing the workforce to boost the state's animal production industry, according to DOL Commissioner Katie Thurbert. I guess that's how you say that. There you go. I think we need to do something. It's serious out here, people. You don't think it is, but you need to get out and about. People, our older veterinarians are retiring. Our younger ones are either worked hard or they went to small animals, because idiots like me pay big money to have dogs worked on. So, you know, one of those deals, catch 22. My daughter lives in a building lives in Chicago, and there's a 30-something story building right next to her that's for people that have retired and are living in that skyscrapers, whatever you want to talk to it. They have 2 full-time vets in the basement. Ching, ching. I mean, but I think out here messing with animals. It's like Dr. Taylor was out here the other day helping us with my landlord's cow. She got kicked. Then I got kicked when I got to Dr. Taylor. So, hey, we wouldn't be talking about being kicked if we hadn't been out there. All right, let's see here. I got time to do this. 5 important reminders when finding orphaned wildlife. When enjoying the outdoors this spring and summer, you likely encounter young wildlife. Although it may be tempting to help a lone baby animal, experts warn intervening can often do more harm than good and may be illegal, and it is in Oklahoma. Ashley Long, professor, associate professor, wildlife ecology at the Texas A&M Department of Rangeland Wildlife and Fisheries Management, that's a long title, emphasized the need to understand wildlife behavior before acting. So you don't go get a baby bear because mama bear is probably really close, because a lot of bear in eastern Oklahoma anymore. Let's see here. Number 1, it's illegal to keep wildlife without a permit. Number 2, wildlife parenting looks different than human is parenting, and it is. While it may be unthinkable for a human to leave a child alone for several hours, it's common. I've seen does leave their baby and run off a mile away, but come back, and they always know where they are. If you touch them, especially a fawn, sometimes the mother won't come back to them if you got your sin on there. So keep that in mind. And I know a lot of people try to move the deer or try to scare them when they're swathing hay and stuff. It's mother nature. Like human children, young wildlife must learn survival skills. And they can't do that when they're in your backyard and you're feeding them a water bottle or a milk bottle. Number four, good intentions can sometimes cause negative outcomes. Some young wildlife may hunker down rather than flee when approached. This behavior can be mistaken for abandonment or distress, but it's often also a survival tactic. Last one, know when and who to call for help in Texas and Oklahoma. So best thing is call your game warden in your county, and they will direct you in the right direction. Hope you guys enjoyed today. See you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.